Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Mike and Arinda. Hey, Mike, what's up? What you doing?
Hey, guys. Running errands, trying to pay my taxes late. But I'm here listening to you guys instead of getting work done.
Perfect. I heard, you know what? My lovely sent me a little video on Instagram last night about running errands and actually said, like, I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but you know all the just anxiety and depression that we have in our world right now? The guy was like, the reason so many people are anxious and depressed is because we're all so in touch with our feelings now, and everybody's talking about it all day long. How you feeling? How you feeling? Are you okay? How are you feeling? Tell me about your feelings. How would you describe your feelings? He goes, the best thing you can do when you're feeling some kind of way, go run errands. Just go do stuff and ignore it, because whatever you ignore dies. So good job, Mike. You're not depressed.
Yeah, but now I've been stuck in my car listening to the discourse on Clay, and I'm depressed again.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. My fault.
So here, I was like, I came in with the call thinking, like, who else are you going to get? Like, you know, the market for a valid second scorer is probably a price higher than we're talking about Clay here. But as you guys were talking about this, I mean, as much as I hate it and as much as I love the man, I think you got to let him go. And then, you know, maybe it's not the prototypical scorer that Clay was or has been. But, I mean, shoot, like, if Jonathan Kuminga had an entire season of just, like, everyone behind him and supporting him, I mean, we've seen where that ceiling can go. He was the second scorer for a while. And Pods is playing out of his mind, too. And so I just keep going back to that, like, we're not young enough, we're not athletic enough, we need a big. And as much as I want Clay, I think the way you guys are talking about, whether it's 20 or 25 or 30, I think we have to let him go, because otherwise we can't develop the team that I think we can develop.
Well, here's how I don't know, Dibs, how you feel about this. Mike, thanks. For me, there's no way to get to a definitive opinion yet. We should let him walk. You should keep him. We're going to do this for a couple of months without knowing what the other options are. Now, I heard Evan say this earlier, where he's like, that's the linchpin. You got to keep Clay or let him walk, and then that leads to everything else. Then you can decide what else you're going to do. I disagree. I don't think Clay is your first order of business. Your first order of business is finding out what else is available.
Of course.
And if there's something special available, then you're willing to move on from Clay Thompson. If there isn't something special available, then you absolutely want to keep Clay, because
you have no choice.
Well,
at that point,
it's like, I feel like a lot of you are like, get rid of Clay. And it's like, but what if no one else is available? Then you're literally moving on from someone whose skill set is exactly what you need. And you're moving on from him just because of a concept. Like, we'd like to get younger. Well, and if that person doesn't exist out there, then you're just going to still let Clay walk for no good reason?
Well, it's also for a contract as well as it is a concept. So if none of these special things come to pass and you wind up in the end of June and early July and you don't have any other option and Clay is going to get 28 or 30 from someone else, well, then you can't do that. You got to move off it.
I guess. But again, this is going to be a likely going to be a two-year deal. Therefore, it can't be an albatross contract. You would play next year, become an expiring deal. No big deal. It's like it's something that you can move out of if it comes to that down the road. Just doesn't bother me that much how much you pay the guy. It's a matter of what else is available. And if something else is available and Clay's presence would prevent that, okay. But if that's not available, I'm not moving off of him just because I'm annoyed and I don't buy that he's blocking Jonathan Kuminga. Like, that's going to, for until we get those answers, I will simply say, for the moment, I'd rather have Clay on the team than not, but the responsibility's got to go down. The pressure on their shoulders, the ask on a nightly basis has to go down, and Jonathan Kuminga's has got to go up, and that can happen together, I believe.
It can, but if that's all you have, then you're probably going to wind up in the same spot next year that you were this year.
You might, yeah.
And that
might be the best they can do.
Well, if that's the case, then I'd rather move off him knowing that the second year of that deal, which would be next year, is going to put you in more of a tight spot as far as adding players. Because it absolutely would.
I don't know that it would.
Steph's contract goes up, and Andrew's still here, and Draymond's goes up,
Clay's
still here.
No, Wiggins is not still here.
Well, yeah, because you weren't able to do anything with Wiggins, anything special this offseason.
Oh, that's likely. That's likely. I don't, like, Wiggins, I believe, is very, very likely done. And that may not mean a special acquisition.
But what are you going to get back for him?
I don't know. It might not be great. My point is, a special acquisition, I've given you sort of what I think is something.
A really impactful player, like, a guy who can be your number two.
But
also be your number one.
But in terms of what the Warriors can offer for that, like, it would be great if they could package Wiggins along with a Moody and a bunch of picks, and that somehow wooed a team to get off of a big time player. That would be wonderful. But that might not be available. If that's not available, I still think Wiggins is getting moved for something that's not sexy. Might just be Andrew for your $22 million guy that you don't like. It might be that. But I do believe that if you just kind of read and listen to what everyone said over the last couple of days, the Warriors would like to trade Andrew Wiggins. I think they think he's the one who's in Kuminga's way, not Clay.
Of course, Clay's not in Kuminga's way at all, I don't think. Even if you look at it in terms of him being the number two scorer, Kuminga can supplant him by getting better. The biggest issue with replacing Clay is what you talked about and what Steve mentioned is you already don't have enough shooting. You've got Steph and Clay and nobody else who can really shoot the three. Andrew shot the next most threes on your team, and Andrew Wiggins is not a great three-point shooter. And Kuminga's three ball is one that you wouldn't want to see very often.
Not ready.
Draymond's great in the first quarter, but that's it. And Pods was good early, and then he became pretty erratic, and Moses Moody can't shoot the three. And don't even get me started about Kevon Looney. And
yeah, he can.
Moses is fine.
Moses can shoot the three.
On this team, he's not a great three-point shooter.
None of them are.
That's the point.
And the problem. Right. Yes, I'm in total agreement. John in the city. Hey, John, you're on with Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, guys, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Hey, this sounds ridiculous, and I know. But how about the Warriors draft or sign as a free agent, Bronny James, then bring in his dad for the league minimum for $1.6 million?
That's what I'm talking about.
Is.
Let's go.
Sounds wonderful. Is everybody on the same page?
Well, LeBron is.
Is he?
Money's not the issue if I can play with my son.
Right, right. I mean, I know he said that. I don't know if that means the minimum. I don't know.
Well, the guy's worth a billion dollars.
I know, but we do that to these rich people all the time. You've already got money. You don't need more. We could say the same to Klay Thompson.
Well, true. If I did, and if that happened, I would say so long to Clay, and unfortunately say so long to Draymond, because you don't need Draymond and LeBron. And then you have, you know, you've cleared your salary cap, and, you know, hey, you never know.
How are you going about saying goodbye to Draymond?
You're going to trade him.
Yeah. I mean, again.
Trade him!
So, John, thanks. Fun call, fun idea.
Love it.
Trade him! You got to get a lot of people to agree to a lot of different things.
Draymond, go bye-bye.
Let's trade Draymond. Okay, to who? Are they okay with
Orlando?
Or are we just allowed, because we're the Warriors, are we just allowed to be like, so we've traded Draymond Green to you, and you're not allowed to say no. You know what I mean? LeBron's got to agree to this. I would think half the reason, maybe Bronny is most of the reason, but if LeBron, let's play this fantasy land, if LeBron wanted to come to the Warriors for the minimum, you think he wants Draymond gone?
Probably not.
No, he doesn't.
And, I mean, as much as the Warriors would love to have LeBron here, even on that minimum deal, do you really want to have Bronny with him? Because Bronny, and I apologize to Lucas, who is a USC guy.
Fight on.
Bronny's not very good at basketball, and you'd be asking him to come in and play basketball.
You set that up as if it was a controversial statement. It's an obvious one.
I'm just apologizing to the USC member of our show.
Don't apologize to me. He didn't do anything good for us.
He's not ready to be in the NBA.
He'll never be ready to be in the NBA.
He's in the portal now anyway, so.
Happy trails, USC.
He's not as good as his little brother, who is a junior in high school.
Right, right. But
who's worried about the prom now.
But does that matter to LeBron? Nor would it matter to an NBA team. Will you stick Bronny on your bench to have LeBron? Of course you would. Of course you would.
Much like Thanasis, he's a Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Is he not?
Yes, he is.
Missed a dunk a couple weeks ago.
Antetokounmpo.
Thanasis with one of the worst dunks of the year. I don't know if you saw that clip.
I mean,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Like, sure. Sure. You draft you for a non-guarantee in the second round and put you on the bench and play next to your dad. Let's do it.
Mm.
Why not?
Boy.
But
Bronny, get me my baby powder.
That sounds like complete fantasy land. But it will be interesting to see if LeBron is more sort of like, I don't want to just say true to his word. I don't know exactly what he has said, but he has intimated a number of times that that's his priority. Is there a way to make it happen? Would the Warriors be the only one interested? Doubtful. If the Lakers get swept by the Nuggets, is it time to give up and move on? I don't know. I got no idea the way that one's going to play out.
Right.
That one's at a big fork in the road. So, fun idea, though.
Yeah. Always a fun idea. As fun as the Milwaukee Flames out and the Warriors get Giannis idea.
Actually, I think
equally whimsical.
I think the LeBron one is a touch more likely.
Oh, for sure.
Than the Giannis
for
one.
Sure.
Yeah, but I hear you. All right, we'll get back to your calls shortly. 888-957-9570. But as mentioned earlier, still on the show, both Heidi Watney and Jeff Garcia. Wait till you hear what Jeff's got to talk about. There's a really fun thing that not only he's doing, but we're going to do it with him. So we'll tell you about that. Coming up, thank you, within the next, 45 minutes or so. But coming up next, it's Orange Friday, .. we think. The Giants have the D-backs in town. The game is on Apple TV Plus, which means reporting on it is Heidi Watney. Great, great matchup tonight. Blake Snell versus Jordan Montgomery. Did Scott Boras ruin the offseason? We will ask Heidi Watney that next on Willard and Dibbs.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, continuing here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. It is Friday. We've been hacking things out all week long, specifically about the Golden State Warrior departure. This gives us an opportunity to start transitioning a little bit to Giants baseball, which
has
got,
God.
Yeah, right?
God.
It is a sound for sore ears. And tonight's game, a little bit different than a normal one. A, you got a great pitching matchup. B, you got a special broadcast. Apple TV Plus has got the game. Heidi Watney is the reporter for the game. Heidi joins us now. Hello, Heidi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. Are you already ready for tomorrow, which is when Giants and Diamondbacks fans start, like, attacking everybody going, I don't know how to find Apple TV Plus. Does that still happen after these broadcasts?
A little bit, not as bad as the first year. I think over the last 3 years since we launched this, people are starting to realize that if you're not getting on board with streaming, you're going to be left behind because that's where the world is going. But I do have a little tip for anyone out there who doesn't have Apple TV Plus yet. You can get it on anywhere. You can get the internet or even a cell phone signal. And if you go to my handle on X, or formerly known as Twitter, I have a free 2-month trial for you. Just click on the link. So go to @HeidiWatney on X, and you get a free 2-month trial. You can watch the game tonight. And as I like to say, come for the game, stay for Ted Lasso and the morning show.
There you go.
I love it because I've already done that because I need to get my Apple TV going again. And I'm wondering if Scott Boras will give me an additional year on top, considering tonight is the Boras Bowl with Jordan Montgomery going up against Blake Snell.
Well, Jordan Montgomery has since relieved Scott Boras of his duties as his agent, so he's no longer a Boras client. But yes, Snell and Montgomery were two of the Boras four with Matt Chapman. You know, the Giants also got lucky, I guess, with getting that one done as well. Because I mean, gosh, talk about a great third baseman, offensively, defensively, everything. He's awesome for the team. But yes, we'll have three of the Boras four on the field tonight. And I think both of those pitchers didn't get what they wanted, obviously. And I think it's showing up early in the season, at least for Snell. We'll see what we see from Jordan Montgomery tonight. The Diamondbacks did play it a little safer with him, had him do a couple of more outings at extended spring before coming up. Blake Snell obviously, you know, must have convinced the Giants he was good to go and ready to go. And he's always a guy that kind of starts a little bit slow, so, you know, turns the corner, you know, late April, early May. That's what he did last year. Kind of takes a little bit for him to get the feel of his breaking pitches, especially, and that's really been his problem, his location with his pitches. So I expect a great matchup tonight. I think Blake Snell is going to go back to being Blake Snell any day now. Hopefully it's tonight for our great broadcast. And Jordan Montgomery, man, he's been one of the best, sneaky, like quietly, one of the best pitchers in the league the last couple of years.
Heidi Watney, who will be reporting on the Giants D-backs game tonight, Apple TV Plus broadcast, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, joining us here, Willard and Dibs. Heidi, what are your thoughts on the way Scott Boras played this offseason?
You know, it's interesting. I think the market as a whole played out a little bit differently than Boras and really anyone realized. The last couple of years have been weird with free agents. I think a lot of teams, I mean, you're still getting the, obviously, the massive contract, Shohei Ohtani, $700 million, that's not nothing. But I think in terms of most teams aren't willing to go there. They don't want to do that, especially with arms. You know, Blake Snell's been up and down, and they don't want to extend him that long. I mean, Jordan Montgomery's been one of the more durable pitchers in the league, but a lot of teams just shy away from those long-term contracts. It's bizarre. It's bizarre because we expected more out of a lot of these guys, and especially the year Blake Snell's coming off of. But you kind of don't know what version of Blake Snell you're going to get year to year. He's won the Cy Young twice. He's also had other years that weren't so great. So I guess I'm not that surprised, but definitely I'd be lying if I didn't tell you it wasn't somewhat surprising.
If Blake Snell has a Snellian, as I make up a term, a Snellian year, much like he did last year, where does that put the Giants in the overall NL landscape?
Well, I like the moves that the Giants made. They weren't one player away from being a real contender. Instead, they addressed a number of concerns, the rotation, the power. I thought it was crazy in prepping for this game. The Giants haven't had a 30 home run hitter since Barry Bonds in 2004. They have not had a single position player hit 30 home runs.
We know. We know.
I do know I'm preaching to the choir, but yeah. That is crazy. I mean, Brandon Belt got close in 2021 with 29, but in the last 5 years, every single other team in the league, even the Kansas City Royals, for everyone who likes to say, you know, they don't have offense there, they've all done it. So Jorge Soler can kind of spark that, hopefully bring some power here. Jugo Lee is, I mean, we've seen his bat-to-ball skills already. He's a great player. Contact. More contact-oriented than power, but he addresses another just kind of lack of hitting in the outfield that the Giants had last year, and they address the rotation. I mean, and you've got Logan Webb and Blake Snell at the top. I think Blake Snell will come back into form. If you look at his career, if you look at his spring training numbers for the last couple of years, I just had him in front of me, they're not good. They're not good most years. He takes a while to warm up, so you're just seeing that now because he didn't get a full spring training. Everyone always tells me in the, I don't know, 15, 17 years I've been covering baseball, that spring training is for the pitchers, not the hitters. The hitters can get their timing in a week or two. Some take a little bit longer, but it's the pitchers. They need to get stretched out. They need to get their arms sharp. They need to get their location down, and that's what you're seeing with Snell. So I expect him to come back into form, and I expect the Giants to compete this year. Like, I like the moves they made.
Heidi, you mentioned the preparation you did for this game. Specifically, who did you talk to, and what impressions did you come away with?
Well, I'm about to head to the field as soon as that was the phone call you just heard in the background a little bit ago. It's probably someone waiting to take me over the field. So I get a lot more inside information once I get there and talk to the players. I do talk to some of the beat writers that that cover the team beforehand, and we have a great research department that gives us a lot of information and stats. And so I kind of, prior to heading to the field, since I haven't covered either one of these teams this year, it's mostly a lot of reading and research, and then I go to the field and kind of confirm everything that I've read about and follow up on some questions I have. So that's kind of mostly the way I prepare.
And through your reading and research, what does it tell you about the Giants in terms of where they compete against Arizona and San Diego and the Dodgers? Can they really be a player in this NL West, or is it basically just pitcher reliant and they need Snell to have a great year and Robbie Ray to come back and be good and Logan Webb to still be great?
Well, I mean, all of those things help, but if you look at the Diamondbacks last year, I mean, they just barely squeaked into the postseason and they went all the way to the World Series. They were 84-78 last year. I mean, the Giants weren't far off. I think they were 79 wins last year, so 5 wins less. The moves they made, I think, definitely can get them 5 wins and get them to that mark. And when the Giants teams won their championships in 10, 12, and 14, I think every single year they entered as a wild card team. So it's one of those things, make the postseason and go on a run. But in terms of competing in the NL West, I mean, it's really interesting. You see the notable spenders in the offseason, the NL West. It's pretty much everyone from the NL West for the most money spent in free agency. Obviously, we know what the Dodgers did in Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani. They're big ones. They also got Glasnow, traded for him and signed him to an extension. The Giants spent over $300 million in free agency. The D-backs are also up there in the top five. It's Dodgers, Giants, Phillies, D-backs, and Cubs spent the most money this offseason. The D-backs got a taste of going to the World Series, and they wanted to put themselves over the top. So this is going to be a tough division, and you can't ever count out the Padres and A.J. Preller. It seemed like it was going to be more of a step back, but they're not taking a step back. They're not letting the foot off the gas, and that offense is just phenomenal out there if their pitching can keep up. So, I mean, the Giants are building it a little bit different way, but you start with starting pitching and defense, and the Giants' defense has been strong. It's been a strong suit for them this year. I expect that to continue.
Heidi Watney on the broadcast, Apple TV+, Giants and Diamondbacks coming up later on this evening. Heidi, we love being there. It's a beautiful place. I'm sure you've been there many times. However, we're 7 home games into the season. The Giants have a sum total of, let me count them up, 0 home runs.
Are you sure?
Do they have a ballpark problem?
You know, Bob Melvin was surprised last night in the postgame when they asked him about that. He said, really? You haven't hit one at home? Look, they don't. Okay. full disclosure, I grew up as a Giants fan. This is one of my favorite ballparks in the entire league. I may be slightly biased, but it is beautiful. It sits right there on the water. You've got the bridge in the background. It's an experience coming to this ballpark. So no, I don't think we have a ballpark problem. But in terms of power, yeah, it's a place that isn't great for power hitters. And so you may have a little bit more trouble signing some free agents who are worried about their power being sapped in this ballpark. But hey, the pitchers must love it. And it's a beautiful ballpark. I know I was listening to Sports Talk Radio on the way in, and everyone's making a fuss over having not seen the new LED lights and the spotlights and all of that stuff. And, you know, give it time. It's still early. We're only, what, 3 weeks into the season? It's and now they're going to have more power than they did last year. They are, just with the lineup they've got.
Yes, but on pace to hit zero home runs at home, if we can be fair about pacing, Heidi.
On pace stats are a little tricky early in the season. I mean, do I think Blake Snell's going to finish with a 12 ERA? No, but so far he's on pace for that. So,
if they do, then I don't like their chances to make the wild card.
No, those two stats combined would not be good.
Heidi, looking at the way this whole thing has started, the Diamondbacks and Giants both just kind of with blah sort of 500-ish records, but the Dodgers are not running away. Like, what, you know, this is supposed to be maybe the toughest division in baseball. What are your early impressions?
I think this is going to be one of the toughest divisions in baseball. I think the AL East is going to be tough again. I mean, the Yankees, man, they look back, and the Baltimore Orioles were the fun surprise team of last year, and they have youth coming out of every different place they have. They are good. In terms of best divisions, though, I would stack up the NL West against anyone. It's just, you've got the Dodgers out here, and the Dodgers have become the old Yankees of the West. They're good. They have a front office that is not only analytics minded, but also has the money to spend. And I mean, they've been dominant. If you watch baseball for the last decade, they've been one of the best teams in baseball. They're not going anywhere. The San Diego Padres have been also great. They have, like I said, great offense. The Diamondbacks surprised a lot of people. In fact, I remember, and I can't wait to talk to Torrey Lovello today, because I remember sitting in his office early last season and saying, man, you have to compete in one of the toughest divisions in baseball. What do you go out there and tell these guys to motivate them to go out against these behemoth teams? And he said, you watch. This team is good. They're more talented than we're getting credit for. And sure enough, they ended up in the World Series. The Rockies maybe are the team that would be the easiest of the bunch. But, you know, and any given night, that's the thing about baseball, is that any team can beat any team. So I would put the NL West up with anyone. But I definitely think the Giants are improved. We're going to see a better year than we saw last year. And it starts at the top with Bob Melvin. I love him as a manager. I think he's a great guy. And I think the fresh perspective brought in is going to be good for this squad.
Well, Heidi, I was going to say welcome to town, but I guess I should say welcome home. And thanks so much for coming on. Have a great broadcast tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Heidi Watney, Apple TV Plus. Giants, maybe wearing orange tonight. Maybe hitting a home run tonight. Maybe getting Blake Snell's first W in a Giants uniform, going up against Jordan Montgomery. It's a 12.86 ERA against a 0.00 ERA.
Yeah, doesn't look good. You can throw the records out, though, when these two Boris clients collide.
Former Boris client. Yeah,
exactly.
One of
Montgomery,
them.
No longer a Boris. But you mentioned Blake Snell and a 12.86 ERA. Yikes. 0-2. Two starts so far. Two bad starts? Is it too early to call this a big game for Blake Snell? It's not a must win. I would never say that in April.
Is it too early to call it a big game? Probably, but I get where you're coming
from. Seven innings so far.
Yeah.
And 10 earned runs.
It would be good if he looked different.
If he got somebody out?
Yeah, it would be good if he could start to build a little confidence with the fan base. Yeah, that would be good. I mean, the Giants right now are in that spot where I think that you do have to look down the road a little bit in terms of what you think they will be, but you also need to hang in there long enough to allow the team to become that. So, I mean, it largely over the last 3 or 4 days, I've suddenly kind of gone, okay, this is not that bad of a start.
Yeah.
A, they've won a couple ball games in a row, but B, the Dodgers are only 12-9. So, like, that's all you want right now. While the whole Alex Cobb and Robbie Ray and Blake Snell figures himself out, you just want things to not get away from you, and they haven't. So that's a net win.
Yes, it is, but I guess I think about it in terms of just Blake Snell and 2 starts right now, and we know he's a slow starter, and we also know that he didn't have a camp, so he comes in, and this is kind of his spring training. First outing, 3 innings, 3 earned runs, okay. You're just kind of shaking off the cobwebs. Then 4 innings and 7 earned runs, that was a little bit more alarming to me. Like, you were able to throw more pitches, you went a little bit deeper, but you were getting touched up. It wasn't just a case of a little bit wild and, you know, you couldn't go that deep and you were on a pitch count. And I know you're still limiting exactly what he's going to do, but so far 2 starts and he hasn't really gone that deep into games. He's gone deep into counts with just about every batter.
Well, that's what he does.
Right.
That's what he does.
Exactly. So how about tonight you get 5 innings and maybe you allow just 1 or 2 runs and you know, you start to show signs of being the Cy Young pitcher.
I mean, that'd be good. They are concerned about it enough. I was on KPIX this morning, and you know how that works on game time.
Yep.
And they will. They're like, okay, here's what we want to talk about. And this was one of those. I'm like, sure, they're going to talk about the end of the Warriors season and the outlook there. And that's where we started. Could Klay Thompson really be gone, Mark? He might. Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. Question two, are we concerned about Blake Snell?
Question two.
What do you think my answer was?
No. We're not getting.
No, I'm not concerned.
Talk to me on June 1st is probably about what you said. And maybe sooner than that, because
but you do want it to be like, there's one thing to be a slow starter. It's another thing for ERA to be 12.
Right, 0.86.
12. Yeah.
0.86.
That's very, very beefy. And so, yeah, you need to at least mix in some, like, keep your guys in the ball game.
Yeah,
kind of a situation. The other thing that's interesting, I think, with Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell facing off against one another tonight, no two ways about it in my mind. Scott Boras done screwed up. I mean, big time. You went from having a nickname of 4 different clients to getting a sum total of none of them, the long-term deal they thought they were about to get, and one of them firing you, not even being your client anymore. Can't call him the Boras 4. One of them left, and that's Jordan Montgomery. He was the last one to sign.
And he signed a 1-year deal, right?
I think he might have been the only one that got an extra year or two or something, but it was not the deal that he wanted or expected. And then it was 1+1s for Bellinger and Snell and Chapman, as we know, because 2 of them came here.
Yeah, Montgomery was a 1-year with a player option.
It was?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yep.
Okay, so all four of them get a 1+1, and he gets fired by one of them. So, like, I know that, you know, Farhan was like, call the White House, I'm dealing with Boras on multiple. and right, that didn't go over well. But the other side to it is maybe it did go over well. Like, maybe you got over on Boras. I know that fans are hesitant to be excited about the 1+1s because if the guys are really good, then they're gone. And I totally get that. But by the same token, the Giants do not get Blake Snell and Matt Chapman if better offers were out there. And Scott Boras really, really misplayed the hands of his clients this offseason.
Well, the market, I think, is different than what he was banking on because he was holding all the cards late into free agency, and free agency was mostly over, but he had the Boras 4, and he thought that teams were going to go well over their skis to get these guys at the end in February and in March, and it just wasn't that way. And you can say it's collusion, or you can say it's just the changing of the times in Major League Baseball. I think it's becoming a little bit more of a, I think maybe a team market when it comes to free agency because, you know, these deals, these monster deals, especially for pitchers who are over the age of 30, It's just not there anymore.
Well, I also think this, like the whole idea, and Boris is famous for this. Boris outweighs you. He's just going to be like, great, I'm glad you're excited it's November and December. No, we're waiting. And we're going to do mystery teams. It's going to be January. And we're going to do mystery teams. It's going to be February, and pitchers and catchers are going to report. We're going to look at you and go, nope, not blinking. And that, through the years, you don't build the empire he has without it working a lot. But I think there was a tipping point. And we reached the spot where at least three of the four, I guess you could argue Bellinger too, like the secrets were not kept. Bellinger and the Cubs was like, duh.
Right.
Chapman and the Giants, duh. Like, everybody knew. Blake Snell was like, eh, maybe Giants, couple other teams. Montgomery, that one was a little bit more mysterious. But everybody knew where these guys were likely to end up. And Boris kept waiting for them to blink, and he played all of his games. Oh, Blake Snell, Giants, Yankees.
Mystery team.
Yankees, right. Yankees, Yankees.
Totally.
And to Farhan and the Giants' credit, they looked at him and went, yeah, call us back again next week if you want to talk. Because, no, we're not doing.
We're not upping the offer.
We're not doing it. And you can see by what these guys took, the whole league looked at him and went, calling your bluff.
Yeah, and that's probably where we are now.
Yeah, then they looked at him at the very end and went, you want to play baseball this year or not?
Yeah, and Snell still got $32 million, and he has an option for $30 next year.
Right, but so, that's, I mean, that's not
8 and 240.
Yeah, it's not a lot to commit, and it's not going to kill you down the road. Like,
right?
Kind of what we were talking about with Clay. It's like, it's just a two-year deal. If something doesn't go right, you just boogie right out of that thing. It's no big deal.
It's a little different there with
it's
the cap and the luxury tax and the second apron and all the rest of that nonsense.
Well, the second year is not going to be an option. It's going to be guaranteed.
Right. And in this one, it's, you know, he should be better than 12.86 ERA.
I will predict that he will be.
And if he continues to be this pitcher, then Farhan got fleeced again.
Yeah, but if he continues to be this pitcher, I got good news for you. He'll be back next year.
He will.
Yeah. And try it again.
Yeah, he'll opt in.
Super Bowl or try again.
$30 million player opt. Dude, $30 million. You could stink and just opt in for 30.
30 mil. Yeah. But then he could come back and be amazing. But he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Well, he better start tonight.
No,
it's a must
not,
win for Blakey.
You just said it's not.
I know.
No, he'll be fine.
For the fans, it would be nice. It would be nice win tonight.
Yeah.
It would be nice if you looked like the kind of pitcher that we thought you are.
And it would be nice if someone hit the ball over the fence. That's my other thing. It's like kind of a stupid point, but it's like, what is happening?
You caught Heidi off guard with that one.
Yeah.
What, no home runs at home.
We have a ballpark problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the guess on the attendance number tonight? How many fans do you think are at the yard?
I think it'll be a little higher than last night.
I'm going to say 32.
Night. Yeah.
It'll be a good crowd.
Nearly 27 last night.
Yeah. I'm going to put it at 32 paid.
32.
You go over under 32. Magic Johnson, 32. I like my number.
Friday night, it's a half hour later.
Friday night, good weather. Nice weather.
I'll go
good
over.
Pitching
I'll
matchup.
Go, I'll go over.
Over 32.
I'll go over.
Okay.
I think it's going to be 32,004.
And four.
Yeah.
Four.
That's a good guess. I think it's going to be right around in there. All right. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. If you still want to talk about the Dubs, we'll reset the Draymond comments that got us going early. Plus, within a half hour, you'll be hearing from Niners great Jeff Garcia. We'll tell you why we're talking to him and why he is going to simply be the first of many former and current 49er quarterbacks about to be joining Willard and Dips. 95.7 The Game.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Chess, not checkers. Chess. I'm Mark Willard, chess master.
Although, if I were really playing chess, I would know why the camera on YouTube just zoomed in on me. Y'all looking at this?
No, I missed
That's
it.
Way too close. I'm very uncomfortable with that. Like,
I gotta see.
You can
now.
See nose hairs.
Oh
this
my god!
This is very uncomfortable. This is unsettling.
Look at your eyebrows.
Yeah, remember?
Well shapen.
Remember Wayne's World? Extreme close.
Maybe you should zoom in, Dibs,
Whoa.
To match.
Nah, I.
Yeah, what happened, dude?
You freaking loser!
I didn't do that. I didn't touch anything.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. No one's
there
ever...
you go. All right, for the YouTube audience,
yeah.
I will zoom it in.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Ah, look at my...
There you go.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
But where...
Oh.
Now, where'd the internet go? What are you doing, Lucas?
What are you doing?
Why do you always do things the hard way? Oh, my God, Dibs, your beard is very unsettling.
It's robust.
Close. Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
That's way too much. I like... Pan out for skinny Dibs.
All right.
I need more skinny Dibs.
And we'll pan down to the where the gut used to be.
You down 21 yet?
It's 20.
Just
holding 20. 20.
You didn't lose another pound yesterday?
Didn't weigh myself today.
Oh, so
Trying
maybe
not to
you
weigh
did.
Every day because, as you know, when you weigh yourself, it can be a bit of a fluctuation sensation. And so I don't want to weigh in and see, oh, I'm 2 pounds heavier than yesterday and get all mad, you know?
Do you ever do the thing where you get on the scale? And then you're like, nope. And you get
totally.
Off. No, you get off and you're like, what's the matter with you, scale? That's not right. I actually did that. So sometimes, you ever put the scale on the bathroom, like the little slats in the tile? And so it's uneven.
Yeah.
And that will give you a false reading. I did it the other day where I got on the scale and I know pretty much, I don't even know why the hell I get on the scale, but I'm like, I hopped on the thing and I know pretty much, I'm like, I think I know exactly about what it's going to be. And it was like, 3 or 4 pounds hot. And I go, try again, scale. So I shook it and I stuck it on.
I shook it
and I put it back on the spot on the tile where it was not on a slat. And I'm like, you better get it right this time. And I stepped back on.
And it was right.
And I had lost 4 pounds.
Okay. There
like,
you go.
That's better, scale. Good listening. You listen better than my kids.
You have one of those scales where the thing actually moves physically and like the needle will...
No, it's digital.
I have digital. Okay.
Yeah, you step on it hard and then, you know, there you go. It's there for you.
Yeah, I've got the scale too that'll measure your fat content. And
oh, that's too much.
Your body mass.
I don't
want to
know that stuff.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's good for me.
I just ate a brownie. I don't want to know that stuff.
Yeah.
Just straight weight, baby. That's it. That's all I want to know.
My scale has an app, too, so I actually track it on my phone, and I'm able to see, you know, where I've been and where I'm at.
Yeah, you're doing a thing. You're on a journey.
Yeah?
That's what they call it.
Didn't weigh in today, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I'll wait until tomorrow.
Do you just, like, let it rip on the weekend? What happens?
Try not to.
What's the rule, though?
The rule is basically you get a day.
One day.
You can cheat, but...
Cheat day, sure.
Right. Again, the cheat day is not going to be 4 slices of pizza and 7 IPAs.
You try
to keep it somewhat between the lines.
Which day is your cheat day?
It'll probably be tomorrow.
Okay.
You don't just have the same day
every week?
It depends on the schedule. If the Lovely Supper and I are going to do a dinner where we're going to go out and maybe get sushi, for example, that would be the day. Because then there's going to be some rice involved.
Oh,
and, you know.
Boy, you're really.
Whew, you know.
You're like, I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to have some
rice. Yeah. Well, you know, it's as much as this program, AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com, it's a great program and it's easy to follow. It still is a little bit of work.
Of course.
When it comes to not, like, eating everything in sight.
Willpower is a thing. Willpower is not easy.
You see me. You and I both eat during the show during breaks.
Yep.
And...
I'm going to eat it.
I'm eating salad now. It's been,
you're eating nothing but salad.
I'm wrapping up the tail end of a fruit salad over here.
Oh, what, do you get some blueberries in there?
And strawberries.
I don't know, Bowie. Those are good for you.
30 blueberries and 6 strawberries.
Blueberries are one of the best things you can eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheat days are crazy. You know our buddy Ornberger, who's come on before.
Yeah,
love him. You ever hear about a cheat day for an offensive lineman?
Like a cheat day where it's like 4 large pizzas or...
Brother, this guy was, and this is true, often in the NFL, there's kind of a thing. The offensive linemen lose weight. The running backs gain weight, and everybody meets in the middle. Everybody meets at 230 pounds. So he's an offensive lineman, was up at about, and, you know, now he's retired, and he's up 270-something,
yeah.
280, whatever. And he's like, this is enough. I need to lose a solid 50 pounds. So, okay, how are you going to do it? Well, we're going to do maybe some intermittent fasting. We're going to whatever. We're going to, okay. But one day a week, we let that sucker rip. And I let the offensive lineman in me come back out. And I'm like, all right, what does that entail? I am telling you right now, it will take your breath away.
Shout out Berlin.
To know what these dudes can put away in one sitting. He would go to In-N-Out, and it was like 7 double-doubles.
What?
I am not exaggerating.
And not 5?
And he'd be over
not
there
6?
Washing it down with a milkshake.
Ugh.
All the fries are just laying all over the car. I mean, it is intense. It is absolutely intense what they can put away.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I, whatever, I can,
anyway.
I can do whatever I want. I'm a grown man, but if I have a cheat day and have, let's just say, a double-double
yeah.
and fries and a shake, that's going to probably cost me 5 pounds.
That's going to be a no from you, dog.
That's going to be about a four-day recovery.
Did you say you can do whatever you want?
I'm a grown man.
I thought you were married.
Wow, jeez, I mean it.
Draymond Green on the Draymond Green Show.
Right after the game in the Kings locker room, I said, I love you, bro. It's like, I love you too. We ain't done. You right. Got it. Noted. Cool. We ain't. You right. So to think that, like, we've done these things, I love it, and we're not done.
I wish that
Why
everyone...
Why do you keep playing that?
Because it is
you're just
so
trying to piss
amazing.
Me off. You're right. We're not.
Here's the thing.
Noted.
There are a lot of people with you, and I wish every one of you to be on Twitch and YouTube right now.
I'm gonna throw up.
I wish every one of you to be on Twitch and YouTube right now to see what happens to Dib's face when I play this cut. Here it comes again.
Don't.
Right after the game in the Kings locker room, I said, I love you, bro. It's like, I love you too. We ain't done. You right. Got it. Noted. Cool. We ain't. You right. So to think that, like, we've done these things, I love it, and we're not done.
All the man is doing is talking, and I know there are thousands of people out there just like you right now, Dibs. They can't, like, your whole body tenses up.
Got it. Do it. You're noted.
Your sheepish grin, your shaking head, you are completely uncomfortable listening to Draymond Green speak about anything that is positive and looking forward. Why?
Because he's full of it. And he's talking about what they have done. And I love what they have done. And he's an unbelievable player. He's a Hall of Famer. No one will ever wear 23 again with the Golden State Warriors. But the idea of we're not done. Well, you're not done what? Getting ejected? Throwing punches? Choking opponents? Getting ill-timed tees? Punching teammates?
No.
What are we not done with?
I won't say triggered because you used the word activated. But that's my point. Steve Kerr came on this show 3 days ago and essentially said, watch your fork.
Sorry.
Essentially said, hey, Dub Nation, you better thank Draymond Green. That's zero championships without him.
I thank him.
No, but you don't.
No, I do.
No, but you don't.
I do, and we're talking about going forward.
I understand that, but I will forever be fascinated by this dynamic that we're talking about because it is intense and all over the place. You are not alone. Dibs, look at me. You are not alone.
I know I'm not
alone. You're not alone. I'm telling you, man, it's so fascinating to me how many people have such pronounced sides of their mouth to where they can use both of them to go, Draymond, you're a legend. Draymond, we love you. Draymond, thank you for the championships. But you've also reached a point where you cannot even listen to him talk without your whole body becoming a complete ball of tension and anger and wanting him gone, yet also in the same breath acknowledging that the Warriors could not win this year without him. And all I'm saying is, I'm not saying you're wrong about anything. You feel how you feel. But I think that dynamic is, boy, layered, complex, impossible. Like, so much of the Warrior fan base, the love-hate relationship with Draymond is so intense that I don't know what you do with it.
Well, it's unlike any relationship ever in the history of Bay Area sports. And, you know, I'm going to ask you how you feel about Aubrey Huff. Because Aubrey Huff is a World Series champ.
Yeah.
And what Aubrey Huff did for the 2010 team was significant.
I don't feel anything good about Aubrey Huff.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, but like even looking back, it's like, sure.
You look back and I'm not gonna at the baseball player.
But I'm not going to give back the championship. There's no way to do that anyway. But I
think you'd be disingenuous if you didn't look back at his on-field contributions and at least acknowledge that they were good and meaningful and they led to a championship.
Yeah, but those are less important to me than somebody who is bad to other people. Draymond Green...
He's not necessarily good to all people. Ask Jordan Poole if he's good to Jordan Poole.
Fair enough, but I'm gonna put those on two very, very different planes.
They are different, yeah. But I'm trying
hate,
to
hate speech and somebody who is a little emotionally off his rocker in a basketball game. Two very different things to me.
I'm just putting it in the context of people who you have rooted for and people who. You saw win a championship for your favorite team, and now you can feel differently about them for whatever reason you want.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.